listen. Those who were not here last week, you have to listen, okay? Can you hold your hand up and listen at the same time? Okay, I mean, that until you get your book. Life needs faith. Where does faith come from? You know that verse? Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the... Where's that found? You sure you know that? Are you absolutely sure it's Romans 10, 17? All right? And you are right about that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All right? Now, visitors, hold your hands up. We got the visitor's books that are here. We have those visitor's books for anybody that's visiting with us. Okay? We want you to have a copy of it so that you can be a part of what's going on in relationship to this. Oh, thank you. Thank you. All right. We're trying to build faith. That's what we're trying to do. And that's the whole design of what we're trying to do. Now then, it's built around a military theme because we are soldiers of Christ. Anybody know in the Bible where you read about soldiers of Christ? Where? Ephesians chapter 6. One of these days, almost everybody in here will know where that's found in the Bible. And so what we're trying to do is to develop a program that has within it Bible facts that are to be learned. And it has within it memory verses. And so especially when you get the next card, there'll be memory verses in there. And then there are memory locations. Don't have to memorize verses, just got to know where it's found. And so if I say, whereabouts in the Bible do you read about this? To answer that question, you got to know chapter and verse. Don't have to memorize the verse. That's just so we didn't have to burden you with a lot and lot of memory verses. But there are things you really need to know where they're found in the Bible. And what we're trying to do is to make this fun and make it enjoyable for all of us. Now, as we've said, it's built around a military theme. So tonight we're going to order everybody a dog tag. So we want everybody is going to have their own personal dog tag. It will have their name on it, just like it's a military dog tag. Has your name on it. It also has Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ on it. And one of the reasons for that is so when on Medal of Honor Sunday, which means nothing to those of you who are not here, but one Sunday a month, we're going to recognize those who have learned the Bible. And so you'll have a dog tag like this, and so we're going to have Medal of Honor Sunday. So on a Sunday morning, I want everybody to wear their dog tags that Sunday, in order that we might just encourage these young people and say that we are a part of them. Now, the other aspect of that is it will allow you to begin teaching the Bible to your children, because the questions that are in here are on three different levels. And so, there's obviously some easy questions. There's some questions that are more difficult. And then there are some questions that really, really are difficult. So that's sort of the design of it. Now, as you learn these questions, you will be able to add other tags to the dog tag. Now, I want us to understand, for example, that right now the only thing you have in your field manual is the overview of the Bible. And so when you learn the overview of the Bible, you will get a dog tag, and it will have the overview of the Bible, will be the words that will be found on that. Now, there are rings that go around the outside of this. And so as you learn the prophet ring, as you learn the prophet level in that, you'll get a red ring that goes on that. If you learn the next level up, which means you've got to know prophet plus the priest questions, You will no longer have the red ring that goes around that. You'll then get the priest color, and that is the blue. The priest wore blue, and so the ring that goes around that tag will be, there it is, the ring of priest. And then when you know all of these things, you get the royal level, the king level, and so you'll get a purple ring around that to indicate that you've learned that much about the Bible. And it's going to be motivational, and we're really, really going to do everything we can to make this a fun time to learn the Bible. I hope that is going to happen. It's going to demand that you take time to study at home. Now, a couple of things. Number one, we want to alleviate the fear that anybody's going to be embarrassed. For example, you know, I'm not going to go up to Mike and say, Mike, how many books are there in the Bible? I'm not going to embarrass him for him to let everybody he doesn't know how many books there are in the Bible. But I just might come over here to Harrison. And Harrison, how many books are there in the Bible? 66. All right. And so I may get Harrison involved in this, but those of us who are older, the design is not to show that you don't know this, and so just get rid of that. The other aspect of that is that the reason to have these dog tags and multicolored dog tags is a recognition of the fact that we have reached a level. You stop and think about it. In the schoolroom, in our Sunday school classrooms, we give stars and things of that nature. And we don't want anybody to look around and say, I'm sorry, Joe. I'm at the priest level. What level are you at, you dumb thing? Okay?
I haven't even made the ring of prophets.
Hadn't made the prophets yet, okay. And so, obviously, that's not that attitude. But it's a way of recognizing it. And I don't think the program works unless we have some levels of accomplishment. Unless there's some way of saying, hey, I've learned this much. I need to be motivated to get up this and motivated to get up to that. I mean, that's where that's coming from. David, what have I missed in that level? Keep going. What? No, give me a few more minutes, okay? Give me a few more minutes. Now then, as you look at your field manual, you'll see in the field manual there's a beige color card that's there, and it has the Bible reading in it. And so what we're going to do as a congregation this year is to read through from Genesis through the book of Esther. It's about 10 chapters a week. That's sort of the nature of that. So we just want to be a church that's reading the Bible together. Now, it's going to be obvious that you're going to be reading over the book of Judges while we may be in the book of Exodus or Leviticus or Numbers or Deuteronomy. We understand that, but the idea is not to just have the reading concurrent with what we're studying. Otherwise, when we got to the book of Judges, we might cover, 20 chapters of the book of Judges in 1 week's time, and then nobody would be able to keep up. We also have a study guide that will help you as you read those chapters in the Bible. For example, the first week, the reading was to be Genesis chapter 1 through 9. And so there's this blue book that is out there in the lobby, and it's designed to just help you as you do your reading. There's some thought questions that are there. The questions are not going to be questions that we'll ask in here. But the thing that I would encourage you to do, down at the bottom where it says personal notes, I would write down Bible questions I'd like to have the answer to. I said in my sermon this morning, last Wednesday, 6 or 7 different people came by the office or met me Wednesday night at service and said, I want to ask you something about the Bible. And all they've been doing is reading the book of Genesis. And they had found some of those questions over there in the book of Genesis. And so that's just a study guide. That's a supplementary study guide to help you as you read through the Bible. Think you'll find it really, really interesting. And, if there's some of those questions that, especially when we get studying the book of Genesis, and you've got your personal notes down there with your questions, whenever we're in the teaching part of the study, that will be, that'd be a good time to raise your hand. Hey, let's talk about that question and see if we can find an answer to it, because the question that you have may be the question that others are having. So it's going to be a very, very informal kind of thing. Now, does anybody have any question about how the program works?
I need this.
Yes. And Joe, yeah. I think every one of us needs it. I think every one of us needs it. I'll tell you, when David and I have been working on these cards, I won't say I've learned more about the Bible than I've ever, more doing this than all the other rest of my life put together. But I am amazed at things that were in the Bible I had never, ever seen before. And that's what's going to happen to you. And that's where those questions come from. Mike phoned me, and then Mike made a special trip down to the building this last week. Said, look, I got something I want to ask you about. And all he done, he'd just been reading the book of Genesis, and something that is there. He figured it out, didn't need any help or anything. He just wanted confirmation of the fact that what he discovered in there was really, really what the Bible said. And so that's really what it's all about. Now, it is designed, obviously, so that families can study the Bible together. You know, you've got your children here, and so they're going to be having the same questions and learning the very same things that you're going to be learning. And it really will allow that kind of thing to happen, and maybe start a lot of good kinds of Bible discussion. I don't know that I've left anything out about how the program works, other than the testing of it. How do you know that you've reached the prophet level, Katie? How do I know that Katie has reached the prophet level?
You have to say it to the elders.
And what happens when you say it to the elders?
You get a card.
You get a card like this. Now, we're not asking adults to say it to the elders, okay? But high school and down, we want interaction. We want our elders to have interface with our young people. And so Katie went to one of the elders, and she's reached the prophet level on overview of the Bible. And we're really, really proud of her. But that's not, you know, that's an accomplishment. And so now she has the card, and, you know, one of the elders has signed his name on it. And now whenever it becomes Medal of Honor Sunday, she'll be getting her dog tag as indicative of that. Now, it's not to pick her out and say, look how smart she is or anything. It's just to make all of it so that all of us can have some understanding about it. How are adults going to work on it? How are adults going to find the answers?
It'll take me 10 years.
Well, you probably got the time. You know, Joe, on that prophet level, let's see. There are what, 8 questions on the prophet level on that first card? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 questions. It won't take you 10 years. You can do it in 8. I really believe that you can do it in 8 years, okay? Okay? Just learn one a year and try to hang on to it, okay? I know that. I know. And he's got 2 birthdays too, by the way. So that, and that's the truth. Now, how are the adults going to do? Well, there are two methods of doing this. One is those who have computers can come online and do the test online. And we'll be talking about where that site is and all the rest. Now then, I hope it's obvious to you that when you're online, you do not have your field manual. This is not a computer manual, okay? I want you to understand that, okay? And so there'll be a way because so many in this day and age, you know, have computers, and so they'll be able just to get there and to work it out. But somebody says, well, you know, I don't even know how to turn on a computer. Well, those same questions will be available in a written form, and it's going to be on the honor system, you know, for adults and everything. You know, just whenever you we'll pass out the we'll talk about when we're going to do it. And when we'll announce where that website is and all the rest. So now's the time to be studying. But we'll have, you know, Joe, I don't know if you can. I know Bonnie can, but I don't know if you can or not, right?
Bonnie can.
Well, we don't need her helping you with the answers or laughing at you anyway. And so you'll be able to just to write it in and bring it back in. And that'll be the recognition of it. Really believe, and I want you to understand this, that the levels are important. There's a real levels of importance. Otherwise, we'll just sort of slough it off and say, well, I know, I pretty well know that. Whenever, you know, I know enough about that. And I just, as I said the other, last Sunday night, I challenge you to try to reach the royal level, especially whenever we get over to something other than the overview of the Bible, okay? All right, now, so that's where we're coming from. Now, we mentioned in closing last week, and we'll go ahead and mention it right now. We mentioned in closing last week that, you know, these dog tags and these books and everything cost some monies. And we budgeted for some, for those who were not able to afford it. But we're going to ask everybody that is involved, ask everybody to give $10 so that we can have enough monies to buy dog tags and to buy the, all of the other things. Now, to do that, we need these enlistment forms. Shall we go ahead and pass them out to David? So we need to know how to spell your name on your dog tag. Okay, that's really what this is all about. We want everybody to have a dog tag. Somebody says, well, I don't want a dog tag. Well, you do need a dog tag for the benefit of some of these that we really are trying to encourage, and it makes us all a part of this army. So that's where that's coming from. So I think the form just asks for how you want your name spelled on the dog tag, last name, first name, and so that we'll be able to have all of that. All right. I think we're ready. Pick up a Bible, pick up a pew Bible, pick up your Bible and open it up. Yes. Yes. Johnny suggested, and very, thank you, Johnny, please print your name, and so that, because however you print it, if you cannot spell your last name, and you come back and spell wrong on my dog tag, want to show you how you spelled it, okay? I mean, but we do want this to be a very, very clear record of everything that's involved in this. Now, we'll just put the baskets back there at the back tonight, and so, hopefully you'll have the $10 tonight. If you don't, then next week we'll put the baskets out again. We want to get all of this taken care of so we don't have to talk about money anymore. And then we can really get involved in dealing with some of these things. So at the end tonight, just take your enlistment. I don't know how's that have a name for it. Enlistment card for soldiers of Christ, and so that we'll have all of those. Just put those on the table as you leave back there, and we'll have the baskets there. And some already last week. We didn't even ask for money. Just talked about the fact that we're going to need some help. And some of you have already given, and we understand that. All right. All right, pick up a pew Bible or pick up your own Bible and open it up before Genesis. I want you to find, before you get to the book of Genesis, I want you to find the table of contents. While you're finding it, I want to ask you some questions. The question is, what's the best book in the world? I believe the men said that far better than the women. What's the best book in the world? All right, I think the women, you lost guys. There may be more of them here tonight. They may be ganging up on you, so please be aware of that. Now then, when you open up the Bible to the table of contents, you got a table of contents, you see the two major divisions that are there. Katie, you see it? Kelly, you got a Bible open in front of you? Somebody make sure that Harrison's got a Bible open in front of him, so he'll be able to see it also. And there, the two major divisions of the Bible are what? Old Testament and New Testament. Now, if I were to ask you, how many books are there in the Bible? What would you say?
66.
66. Thank you, Harrison. All right. 66 books in the Bible. Joe, how many books in the Bible? 66 books in the Bible. Now, you see, when we see the Bible, we just see one book. And that's the way most people, when they think about the Bible, that's what they think about. But it was not written all at once. In fact, about how many men wrote the Bible? About 40 men. About 40 men. And so you've got about 40 men. They all didn't live at the same time. And so the Bible was written in parts. And so this book would be written, and another book would be written, and another book would be written, and another book would be written. And so that's the way the Bible came about. But the material that was often used to write the Bible on were scrolls. Now I want you to think about writing on papyrus. Papyrus is a bush that grows down in the Nile, and you just think of a reed that's growing down there, and they would take that reed and they would split it right down the middle. They would open it up, and so you got a flat surface. And they'd take a whole series of these reeds and lay them in that direction. They then would split other reeds, and if these went horizontal, the others went vertical. And that's where paper came from. If you think papyrus, papyrus, that's where the word comes from. So if you were to write the book of Isaiah Do you know how long the book of Isaiah would be in one book? At least 100 feet long. Now I want you to think about how far 100 feet is. How far is it, David, from this screen back to that projector back there? 88 feet. Doug, would you take four steps, big giant steps, back from that projector and let's see where you wind up? Everybody look at Doug back there. This is how long the book of Isaiah would be. And so you roll up that scroll of the book of Isaiah. How big is that scroll going to be? Will it be that big around? Yeah. So that Ethiopian eunuch riding along reading the book of Isaiah, you know, it's not in pages, it's a scroll. And so he cannot just flip a page to get over there. Now, you stop and think about the Bible in that respect. Now, they wrote not only on papyrus, that's down in Egypt, they would write on parchment. Do you know vellum? You know a chamois? You know what, if I talk about washing your car, which some of us hardly ever do, but if I talk about that chamois, that's vellum, and that's really, really great. And so they'd write on vellum. But you imagine a piece of vellum that goes all the way from the front, all the way back to the welcome desk out there. Think of how thick one book would be. And so whenever we talk about how many books are there in the Bible, I know some of those scrolls are smaller, but I just want you to imagine a humongous library here, and there are 66 different books. How much would they weigh? You imagine trying to find Isaiah 53. Just imagine trying to find that. And you've got to take that scroll and keep turning and turning and turning and lifting and turning and turning until you got all the way over there. Be hard to find it. Now, we're blessed because of the thinness of our paper and the printing press and the smallness of the letters that we can write and print accurately. We are really, really blessed. Now, we said the Bible was written about by about 40 men. How many years? 1,600 years to write the Bible. Did he get the right answer? How many years, Harrison, did it take to write the Bible? How many? Sixty-five. Okay, that's, and a few more too. How many? 1,600, right? How many was it? 1,600, all right. 1,600. He's got it just right. And Joe's checking to just. Now then, you stop and think about writing the Bible over a period of 1,600 years and the nature of the writing of the Bible. Think of how old that first book would be 1,600 years later. And how many copies there had to be made and over all of those years. And that's why it becomes remarkable. Remarkable that God says every one of His words would abide forever. God said He was going to do it. You know, heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, but My word shall not pass away. And David said, every one of Thy righteous precepts endures forever. Now we were talking about putting the Bible up here on a shelf. Let me ask you, where is the best place to keep your Bible? Beside your bed? Where's the best place to keep your Bible? In your car? Where's the best place to keep your Bible?
In your heart.
Oh, well, look at that question right up there on the back of the soldier card. Where do I need to put the Bible?
In your heart.
In your heart. All right, but that's not the right answer. Here is the right answer. Psalms 119, 11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalms 119, 11. You know why you don't know where verses are in the Bible? You made two actions out of it. Where's the best place to put the Bible? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Well, where's that found? I don't know. It didn't memorize that. If you want to learn where a verse is in the Bible, state where it's found, quote the verse, and then state where it's found. Now, where's the best place to keep your Bible? Psalm 119, 11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalms 119, 11. We're going to learn that one now. We are really, really going to learn that one. And we'll hear that more in this Sunday night than it's always right to do right. I guarantee you we'll hear that more. Where's the best place to put your Bible? Don't you say in your heart, that's a wrong answer. And if you're on a computer and you're trying to answer that question, where's the best place to put your Bible? And you put in your heart, absolutely wrong. Where's the best place to put the Bible? Psalms 119, 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Okay, the memorized 119, 11. All right, I missed it, didn't I? Okay. That's the best place to keep your Bible. Now, do we know the answers to the prophet cards? What else do we have on that prophet card? We've got books in the Bible, 66. How many books in the Old Testament?
39.
Now, you want me to teach you how to cheat to remember that?
Yeah.
How many letters are there in the word old?
Three.
How many letters are there in the word Testament?
Nine.
How many books in the Old Testament? 39. Wait a minute. You got that one? What is 3 times 9?
27.
How many books in the New Testament? 27. How many books in the Bible? 66. How many books in the Old Testament? 39. How many books in the New Testament? 27. Now, what else we've got here? Oh, me. What, and I'm not even sure how that question is worded, but who is the theme of the Bible?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Folks, you already know more than so many people in Palm Beach County know. I'm serious. Most people have no idea at all of the difference in an Old Testament and a New Testament. And the things that we've discussed just right now, Joe didn't know that 5 years ago.
No.
Absolutely did not. But just think of what he knows now about the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, we talked about the writing of the Bible. Do you know? I've lost my question. Where did they go? Here they are. We talked about the writing of the Bible. Do you know the languages the Bible was written in? We're only going to give two as an answer. Though there are some sections in there that are in Aramaic, and so if you want to memorize that, that's okay. Just don't try to put it in the computer; it'll count you wrong. Okay. The Old Testament is a Jewish Bible. What language was it written in?
Hebrew.
And the New Testament is written in what language?
Greek.
Now that's, you're already headed up to the next level in the study of the Bible. Two languages the Bible was written in. Old Testament in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek. Now, you got that table of contents? You ever go to the library? And when you get down to the library, the books are divided according to categories. Here's the fiction books. Here's the reference books. Here's the books that talk about geography. Here's the books that talk about science, and so every one of those books is placed on a different shelf. Now, when we look at the Old Testament, we're walking over here to that big scroll, and here's the book of Genesis. I don't know how big it is, but the book of Genesis is tied to the Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and all of those books are on that top shelf up there. Why? Well, the answer to that is they're the books of Moses. Books of Moses. That's why they're up there. Now, the content to be found in there, there's some law to be found in there, but it's not all law. And there's a lot of history to be found in there, but it's not all history. And so the division that we've given to that is the first 5 books of the Bible are the books of Moses. You think you know the names of them? Let us sing the books of Moses, of Moses, of Moses. Let us sing the books of Moses, for he wrote the law. First Genesis, second Exodus, third Leviticus, fourth Numbers, and the fifth is Deuteronomy, the last of them all. Who taught you that? I didn't teach you well. All right, let's do it again. Let us sing the books of Moses, of Moses, of Moses. Let us sing the books of Moses, for he wrote the law. First Genesis, second Exodus, third Leviticus, fourth Numbers, and the fifth is Deuteronomy, the last of them all. Got the top shelf? The first division of the Old Testament. The Jews got the Bible. And so we owe the Jews a great debt because they assembled the order of those books. Now, who knows but what the providence of God was intimately involved in this. But it's so logical that that's where you would start. For example, what's the word Genesis mean?
Beginning.
Wonder why that's the first book that's there. You know? It's real logical. And so, the Bible talks about, it starts in the book of Genesis, and I don't want to get to the Genesis card yet. That's the blue card. And by the way, once you get the white dog tag, the next color dog tag will be a blue one. It'll be the Genesis Exodus dog tag. And it's a lot harder, but it seems like you're getting a hold of this pretty easily, pretty good. So there's that first division. Now then, we look across that top shelf. How many books are up there?
Five.
What's the division of those books?
Books of Moses.
Now the Bible specifically says in the New Testament that Moses wrote Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Now, to the Jews we owe the debt of saying of the fact that they wrote that Moses wrote the book of Genesis. Now, there's some indication, obviously, whenever Jesus talks about ties to in the marriage and divorce question about what did Moses command you, but from the beginning it was not so. Even Jesus seems to tie the life of Moses to the book of to the authorship of Genesis to Moses himself. Just not emphatically affirmed. We don't know who wrote all the Bible. About how many men wrote the Bible? Harrison. About how many men wrote the Bible? 40. All right. Just wanted to make sure you had that. All right. About 40 men wrote the Bible. We do, and there are some books of the Bible. We don't know who wrote them. We know they were inspired because the Jews recognized them as inspired. And you get to the New Testament, the same kind of thing. The recipients of them obviously knew who wrote them, and therefore they knew that they were inspired books. And so we've got the books of Moses. You know the names of them? Let us sing the books of Moses, of Moses, of Moses. Let us sing the books of Moses, for he wrote the law. First Genesis, second Exodus, third Leviticus, fourth Numbers, and the fifth is Deuteronomy, the last of them all. How many books of Moses?
Five.
Okay. You got that? You got that in first division? You're already on the priest card. Are you aware of that? When we start talking about how many are books, name the divisions of the Old Testament. Well, that first division is books of Moses. Now then, that second division. How many books are on that second division?
12
books. And I just think it's amazing how things have worked out in relationship to answering the questions. When you talk about how many books are there in the divisions of the Bible. Listen to how common these numbers are if you don't know this. How many books of Moses?
Five.
How many books of history?
12.
How many poetical books?
Five.
How many major prophets?
Five.
How many minor prophets?
12.
Isn't that amazing? So this side you get the 12 answers. This side gets the 5 answers. Okay, you want to do that one more time? How many books of Moses?
Five.
How many books of history?
12.
How many poetical books?
Five.
How many major prophets?
Five.
How many minor prophets?
12.
You got it? And all together, how many books are there? Joe, how many books are there in the Old Testament? 39. All right, that's great. Took you a long time, but you got it. And that's a great thing about it. And I promise you, I won't pick on you. I just pick on certain ones, okay? I just pick on certain ones. Harrison, you know how many books there are? How many books in the Bible? You want to get it? Well, come on over here and talk to me. I just need you to come over here and talk to me. Just a minute. I got to have a conversation with this young man, okay? All right. Here's a microphone right here, okay? All right. You just stand right here so we can talk. What's the best book in the world?
The Bible.
Very good. How many books in the Bible?
66.
How many books in the Old Testament?
39.
How many books in the New Testament?
7.
Okay, you almost understood me. Okay, thank you very much. All right. Well, Harrison, I'm glad you came and talked to me, okay?
He's smarter than me.
Well, right now he is, okay? But you stop and think about what he knows that. He will never know when he learned that. Joe will remember when he learned these facts. Harrison will know this the rest of his life. He'll know every bit of it. Books of history. Now, get this point. When you get to the end of those 12 books, the 5 and then the 12, the first 17 books of the Old Testament, that is all the history there is in the Bible. I used to think, and almost everybody thinks, if you start reading in Genesis and you just keep reading all the way through, that when you get over here to the end, it's just been the books in the order in which they were written, one after the other, after the other, after the other. That's not the case. So when they collected the books together on this second shelf over here, they've got 12 books. And when I get over here, what's the last book of history? We didn't know that real well. I'll ask it again. What's the last book of history?
Esther.
When you get over here to the book of Esther, that's it as far as history. Well, wait a minute. How many books in the Old Testament? 39. And we've only talked about 17. What about the rest of those Old Testament books? Well, beginning with Job and going through Song of Solomon are the poems, the poetical books, the songs that they sang, the poetry. Well, historically, where were they written? For example, who wrote Psalms?
David.
But wait a minute. David lived back over here about halfway through that second shelf. And so if you want to learn about the historical part of the life of David, I've got to get over here and read the history books. But when I'm reading The Lord is My Shepherd, that's not written after the book of Esther. David wrote that over here while he was living on this earth. Who wrote, and this will be really, really hard, so think before you answer. Who wrote Songs of Solomon? Did you get that one? Well, when does Solomon live? He lives over here about halfway down through those books of history. And sometimes we don't get that. That here's the poetical books, and they're not in there chronologically. They're not in there on a time. The timeline starts at Genesis and ends at Esther. That's the history books. So if I want to read about David and Goliath, if I want to read about the judges, if I want to read about the kings, if I want to read about Ahab and Jezebel, where am I going to read about that? Well, it's in those history books. That's where I'm going to read those things. Now, we're a little bit farther than I want to be, but let's go ahead and finish what we're doing. The next division of the Old Testament is the major prophets. How many major prophets are there?
Five.
I believe they know the minor prophet answer better than you know the major. How many minor prophets are there?
12.
It's obvious the better students are sitting over here on this side. How many major prophets are there?
Five.
Oh, you did better that time, okay. And they're called major generally because there are more, they're, longer except for Lamentation and Daniel, okay? You understand? I mean, but they're major in the sense that they are longer books. Lamentation has three chapters in it, so that's not really the division. Lamentations, when we get to it, it's lamenting. It's the lamentations of Jeremiah, and that book follows the writings of Jeremiah. And so you've got those major prophets. And then the last division of the Old Testament is the minor prophets. How many books in the minor prophets?
12.
And so that's where we are, and that's what we're trying to learn. David, what else we need to do? Is that it? That's it. What? There's a box for the cards back there, and there's a, you know, if you when you have the $10, please put it in back there, because you know, if you don't have it, we're not trying to embarrass anyone. We've got some funds in it, but it's going to take a lot of money. Hope you're learning about the Bible. I really hope you're learning something about the Bible. The good part is yet to come. The good part is yet to come. Let's see. Do what? Homework's to become a king. Homework's to become a king on the overview of the Bible. Get as far as you can. All right, you are dismissed.